đây không? Đây xin con. Remind people the method by which they can watch the screen that we're watching.
Okay, it's highlighted on the webpage itself. But if you just go to the church webpage, I think it's unitedministries.church.
I think I'm gonna pull up your own.
And I think it details, you know, all you need to do if you want to be able to look at what he's doing during service. You can do it from your phone or from a laptop or a computer or a tablet.
Okay. Yeah, so I got it up now, so just kind of from looking at the page, just kind of give people instructions again. I'm sorry, I just put it up there, so I'm just trying to make it available for...
Y'all started recording?
Okay. Everything is recording.
So if you just click the where it says click here to download, you will download Start Meeting app, which is what you need in order to view the services live.
Is that this right here?
Uh-huh.
Click download.
Mm-hmm.
Again, our website is unitedministries.church.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to actually be able to see from the computer or the phone,
mm-hmm.
what we're seeing on as I'm going through the lesson, we go to our website on the watch live. We click here to download.
Mm-hmm.
Then once it downloads,
mm-hmm.
what does it have to do in the process?
But once the app downloads and you install the app, you just want to log into the meeting, right? So it's going to ask you your name. The meeting ID is the one that you see on the webpage. It's the same meeting ID that you use to dial in. So if you're calling in, that same meeting ID
mm-hmm.
is the one that you'll use to actually see the service as well.
Okay. And so when they click it, the download, does it ask them for any type of information?
It's just like what we do when we click the start meeting.
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing. It pops up and it'll ask, do you want to host or join? In this case, we're the host, they just join.
Right.
And so they'll join, put their name and the meeting ID, and it'll open up a screen that'll show what's on this screen, basically.
Okay. So basically, I'm not sure everyone who's in some form of social media, you can, if you want to see what everyone else is seeing that's here physically, just go on our website, unitedministries.church, go to Watch Live, click the download, and then just follow the instructions from there. And then from that point on, when you call in, when they call in, they can hear it from, see and hear it from the phone. You can do both. You can hear and see it from the phone, from your phone or your computer itself. And so, we just wanted to give you that information so that you'll be able to have it, and then that way it may become a little bit easier when you're listening in, and I may be going a little bit too fast for you or something like that. You'd at least be able to see me moving through there, so you won't have to be concerned about turning the pages yourself. We're just trying to make it as convenient as possible, okay? All right, so... just follow the go to the website and just follow the information. All right, what we're going to be coming from today is 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it's ironic that that Yah had already given us this lesson, and then I ended up posting some things. Or writing about some things and sending it through different forms of social media. that's been touted, excuse me, but I'm not impressed, I think that's what the title of it was. And right now, there's a lot of, you know, dialogue that's going on from the subject matter in social media. And I'm amazed from this perspective. You get a lot of people, and I'm almost specifically said preachers at this point because I like to include myself because it keeps me grounded. You know, we preachers always claiming that we are carriers of the truth, but then very few preachers are willing to stand up for it. And so people are very easily intimidated by forms of systems and different things like that. But I have no fear of nothing but Yah. Yah is the only thing, and I'm saying thing, not calling him that, but I'm just saying Yah is the only, he's the only one that I fear out of anything. Anything, anybody, he's the only one that I truly fear. He's the one that I honor above all things. So because of that, if I'm going to preach truth, then I have to be willing to stand for it, even if that costs me my life. Now, at the same time, I'm not concerned about that because Yah is the one who gave me my life, and he's the only one who can take it away. So why would I be concerned about what man can do? You know, as the prophet, I can't remember if it was Elisha, when armies came after him, I believe it was Elijah, when armies came after him, I can't remember which one, so I don't want to just quote the name. It was Elijah or Elisha. I can go there, but I just don't want to at this point. When the armies, y'all making me go there. Elder, help me out too, so. It is when the prophet said, open his servant's eyes. Yeah. Y'all just kind of bear with me because when y'all get to dinner with me like this, yeah, 2 Kings chapter 6, it was Elisha. And so, did I pray, y'all?
I don't
know. Okay, let me just pray. Father, y'all, we bless your name on tonight as you have given us the strength, the wisdom to stand for you and for you alone. We thank you that you have given us the courage to walk upright in these last days and not be concerned about man, whether we should obey man. But we are focusing on obeying Yah. And for this cause, we will stand up and reveal the truth regardless of what we may face as a result of it. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Now, what verse?
17.
Okay, 17, but I'm sorry, verse 11. Just so that we can have an understanding of the no, not 13. Yeah, I thought it was just verse 11. Hey, read 2 Kings chapter 6 on your own time, okay? But I'm going to start at verse 11. So read 1 through 10 on your own time to kind of understand the matter in detail. There are times when Yah revealed things in detail so much to his prophets that they were able to be in a different location and Yah will reveal things that will be going on in secret in king's bedchambers. And so so Yah is raising up his prophets of the last days that are discerning, that have certain gifts, that can see things that cannot just be seen with the naked eye. And from that perspective, what I mean by the naked eye, I'm talking about the naked eye, the senses, what you hear physically, what you see physically, the senses. But Yah will reveal things by his spirit. And so verse 11 says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye now show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Because he was plotting to do some things to the king of Israel, but every time he would make plans, Elisha the prophet would tell the king of Israel what this king of Syria was planning. And so he was like, okay, somebody got to be telling him. Somebody got to be hearing what we're saying in these private meetings and then traveling to go tell the king of Israel what we're actually doing.
Double
agent. So here's what verse 12 said. One of the servants said, no, my lord, nobody's doing that, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel. This man is in Syria. But the prophet is in the land of Israel telling the king of Israel the word that thou speakest in our bedchamber, in secret. Okay? And he said, go and spy where he is. The king of Syria said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he, the king of Syria, horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of Yah was risen early, when the servant of Elijah was risen early, he got up early in the morning and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, talk to Elisha, how shall we do? What are we going to do? And he, Elisha, said, fear not. We cannot walk in fear in these last days. He said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. In other words, Elisha the prophet said, don't worry about the servant, because what's on our side is more in numbers than what's on this king of Syria's side. Now, then he goes on and says, I'm going to read verse 16 again, and he says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Jehovah, I pray thee, open his eyes, open the servant's eyes, that he may see. And Jehovah opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. In other words, these were the chariots of the kingdom of the Most High Yah surrounding the armies that was there to attack Elisha and the servant. You got two men, and Elisha is saying to this servant, don't worry about it, it's more with us, because he's seen. He understands by the Spirit. He knows the truth that if Yah is with us, he's more than anything that can come against us. Now, most preachers know the scripture, but they don't have the revealing or the revelation of the scripture because of fear. Well, Yah just raised up a fool that's sitting here talking to y'all that's crazy enough to believe what the scripture just said. So I don't have no fear. I don't fear armies. I don't fear leaders. I don't fear systems. I don't fear presidents. I don't fear anything, any form of system that is in this earth, because I know that what is with me is greater than anything that can come against me. So I want y'all to say what most folks scared to say. I've had people who've been coming to me lately saying, you know what, man, it's time to stand up. The local election that was just had here, the outcome was this past Saturday. That thing is so rigged that you have people all over the city talking about that the election was rigged, because you have people who was elected again as officials, that you had the entire community rising up saying, we not vote for this individual. One particular lady was so sure she was going to win, she never showed up to any forum in order to compete for her seat, because she knew she already had bought votes to win the election, so she never showed up and still won. And so people are crying out, and they're saying, you know, well, we're tired of this. We're tired of the community being rejected. We're tired of all these things being passed that we don't want. They're like, we're tired of this. Well, I've been getting around people who are coming to me saying we're tired, but when the stuff starts hitting the fan, people want to get in the background. Well, I'm just crazy enough to say something, because I understand who I live for, and I know that my words that go out are led by him, and I don't have to worry about nothing that man will do to me, and neither do you. Okay? And so, as we continue on with this passage here, verse 17 says, Elijah prayed and said, Jehovah, I pray thee, open his eyes, open my servant's eyes, that he may see. And Jehovah opened the eyes of the young man that he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots round about Elijah. So here you have this army facing Elijah, and you have the armies of Yah facing these armies. Now, verse 18 says, and when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto Jehovah and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And Elijah said unto them, this is not the way, neither is the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. They looking for Elijah, and Elijah telling them, I'm not the man you see. Come on, let me show you where he is. Y'all, I'm telling you. And like I said, you know, just continue to read that story. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I just wanted to show you that when we stand for Yah and truly walk in the divine calling by which we've been called, can no man do nothing of? All men can't do nothing. So I wanted to make that clear, but then at the same time you have people, preachers, who are cowards. And that cowardly attitude has led them to manifest as wolves to the kingdom. They started out one way, but they got in too deep. And because they got in too deep, they started to now, they put them in a position where they had to depend on man, and because now they have to depend on man and they're concerned about the gain of the world, to the point to where they're willing to do anything to come across in a way that is for the benefit of the people, but in reality nothing is designed to do nothing but to bring destruction. It's nothing designed to do nothing but bring destruction to Yah's people. These are wolves. The scripture said, many will say in that day, Lord, I did this in your name. Yah said, but Christ will say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. You were sinning, you knew it was wrong, yet you did it anyhow. But then you think you're going to get credit because you did some stuff in my name. Get away from me, I never knew you. Now, I kid you not, we're going to look at some things, and I'm going to show you that just because a person start out one way don't mean they're going to end up that way. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3. We may go into chapter 4. I don't know. We'll see at this point. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, this know also, that in the last days, this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, when you look at the word perilous, we'll define it. The word perilous means reducing strength, dangerous, furious, fierce. So dangerous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. You got a lot of preachers nowadays who love themselves. That's why Yah said in Jeremiah 23 that he was going to raise up shepherds after his own heart, that was going to feed the people. Tell them the truth. Feed them with sound doctrine, as we'll see in 2 Timothy 4 if we get a chance to get there. And I may move back and forth through 2 Timothy 4, between 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 4, if y'all lead that to be the case. Now, when he says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. And I don't want to, there's a lot of these, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on these definitions and things like that. What we can do, those of you who want to be able to look and define these words the way that we do, there's an app that I can give you where you can download a specific Bible. It's called the Blue Letter Bible, and I can show you, we may even set up a class where we can just show you how to use it. You can tap on certain verses in the scripture. As you tap on it, it will give you the definition of all those words in that verse. And so you'll be able to go look and see what a boaster is, a person who's proud, a blasphemer is, disobedient to parents in verse 2. You'll be able to go look at those definitions for yourself. But I can't cover all of them today because there are so many. But it's letting us know these are signs to let us know that we're in the last day. Men shall love themselves. I don't care for the preacher. He'll love himself. He'd rather drive a Rolls Royce than to help somebody pay a bill. He love himself. Okay? He'd rather live well at the expense of the people instead of spreading their wealth throughout the church like the original church did in the book of Acts. He rather consume it up on himself instead of doing what the scripture says. Okay? Men love themselves. Okay? For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of Yah, having a form of godliness. All these things come from people who come across as godly. This ain't talking about no world stuff. In the last day, you shall see this stuff among people who are claiming to be the children of Yah. We know it. People love themselves in the world. We know people are boasters in the world. We know people are proud in the world. But the scripture is revealing to us this kind of stuff is going to be happening inside the church. And we say this today. That is confirmation to let us know we are in the last days. Preachers rather save themselves than to save the people. Traitors, high-headed, high-minded, in the church, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of Yah, in the church, having a form of godliness. So that lets us know that every word that we read deals with people who are coming across like they are godly. So it don't make any difference if he got a bishop attached to his name, or an apostle attached to his name, or a prophet attached to his name, or a prophetess attached to her name. It doesn't make a difference what's attached to the name, because all these descriptions are in the church. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The scripture says, when you see these type of people, turn away from them. Going all other directions. Let's look at the verse 5 in more detail. Verse 5 is that having a form. When you look at form, it means metamorphosis. It means morphosis. In other words, it's metamorphosis. In other words, when you look at them, they're able to display God, and then metamorphosis into something else. Every time you look around, they come across as God, but then you look around, that real stuff come up. Proud, headed, high-minded, lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. But then, I love Jesus, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Then all of a sudden, you see that head turn. They metamorphosis into a blasphemer or disobedience to parents and all these other things. Then it metamorphosis into, hello, thank you, Jesus. Ain't y'all good? Type amen. If you love Jesus, then it metamorphosis into a truth breaker. All these different things. That is what's going on, having a form of godliness. But denying the power of, they reject the true power of the kingdom of Yah. Okay? He says, from such turn away. Abhor this type of mindset. Okay? That's what I always tell you. The minute you can't see Yah operating in me, run away from me as fast as you can. Heck, I'm trying to get away from me if I'm not Father Yah. Yah, people who know me from a personal point of view, they will tell you that I will say in a minute, Yah, if I'm going in the wrong direction, either turn me around or kill me. I ain't no benefit if I'm going in the wrong direction. Yah, either turn me around or kill me, because I don't want to have this form of godliness but no power. I'd rather die. But people love themselves so much. Y'all just, you know, they'll do all these forms of godliness and then turn around and say, well, no, just forgive me. Man, I'm just for real with it. What you see is what you get. That's why I jump out there. What I say in private, I put it out there for the whole world to see it. If I say such and so and such in a good word in private, trust me. I said rather in the middle of the pulpit than that church. Because I ain't playing. Ain't no form here. What you see is what you see. And when y'all don't lie, he's going to show up there with. Because remember, I just said to you publicly, either change me or kill me if I'm not going in the right direction. Now, he says now, for this type of mindset, because he's letting you know the mindset of leaders. Verse 6, for this thought are they which creep in the house and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These are the mindset of leaders to let us know we're in the last days. So when you hear a preacher that will stand up and speak on behalf of the system to harm the church, you're dealing with someone who is a form of godliness but no power. Because anyone with any kind of understanding of the scriptures will know that that is the process by which the beast is going to manifest to his fullest to cause all great and small to worship him according to Revelation. But these type of people are forever learning. They're always coming up with books. They're always coming up with new conferences. They're always coming up with all these things and sharing all this information. You go in their bookstore, they got so much free information on how to advise steps to be successful, 10 steps on how to keep your marriage together, all these steps, all these rituals, all these rules, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Stay away from such. Then he goes on in verse 8 and says, now Janus and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. I don't care if he have on a clergy collar. The scripture said when you see this kind of stuff, they are reprobate minded. They minded has been seared where they cannot discern between the falseness and the truth of a thing. So they'll do these things thinking they're really doing something for the good of the people because they've been so corrupted with their way of thinking that everything they do, they think is right in their own eyes. Now I want you to see this when I deal with verse 8 so that you can understand the type of mindset these leaders really have. Verse 8 says, now as Jannes, if I'm saying it correctly, and Jambres withstood Moses. Who are these two men? Who are these two men? Let's go see who these two men are so that you can understand the type of leaders that's standing before the people nowadays. Because Paul now is comparing these two men to leaders in the last days. What type of leaders are they? Let's look at the scripture, Exodus chapter 7. We're going to find out who Jannes and Jambres is. We keep 2 Timothy chapter 3 because we're coming back there. Exodus chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 11 and 12 to find out who these men are. Okay? Now, Exodus chapter 7, verse 11 says, then Pharaoh, you remember when our nation was in captivity in Egypt? Yah sent Moses to deliver the people by the power of his hand. His hand is in Yah. Moses is dealing with Pharaoh. And Moses is dealing with Pharaoh. Here's what's going on. Here's what's going on that Paul is referring to in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, verse 11 says, then Pharaoh also called the wise man and sorcerers. I'm going to back up. Let's go back up to verse 10 because you got to know what's going on. Verse 8. Exodus chapter 7, verse 8, everyone. It said, Jehovah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you. Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. In other words, Pharaoh is saying, Yah is saying that when Moses and Aaron go before Pharaoh, that Pharaoh was going to ask for a miracle. He said, when he asked for the miracle, take your rod, take your stick and throw it on the ground, and it's going to become a snake. Look at what the scripture goes on to say. Verse 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantment. Y'all hearing this now? Verse 12. For they cast out every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. They were in actuality serpents, rods, but because Yah did a miracle with Aaron's rod, they did enchantment. So it let you know that the enemy can do things that's similar to what Yah can do. The enemy can make you think it's the power of Yah working through that preacher. But here's the difference. Verse 12, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. In other words, Yah say, when it becomes a display, or when it becomes a time, when I'm being compared to as being exalted alongside of any other god, Yah said, I'm going to stand up and show I'm God. So since we represent Yah, then anything that stands up against us is not standing up against us from a perspective of the natural, but in reality they're standing up against Yah from the perspective of the spiritual. Now I'm going to say that again. You have to realize that when you stand for Yah, Anybody that comes against you is not coming against you, because you are a representative of Yah, just like Aaron and that rod was a representative of Yah. And when someone stands up against you, who is the representative of Yah, then Yah said, I'm going to stand up and show them and you that I am the Yah above all representatives. Of God. Did y'all just hear that? So Yah said, okay, throw it down. Let it become a serpent. The magician throw that up down and it becomes a serpent. Yah said, shoot. Scoop that up and show them that they ain't doing nothing. Let this rod that looks like a snake eat the rock. You got something else?
It's like you'll always be the only one left standing.
That's a good point. I'm glad you said that. Whenever we say, boy, that's a good one, no, boy. We can close right there. Whenever we represent Yah, he will always be the last one standing in any circumstance. But that's a good one, no, boy. But that's a whole sermon in itself. Say it slowly where everybody can hear you. That just needs to be repeated, man.
That's what I saw when it said he ate their snakes. It's like, okay, you may be able to do this too, but I'm the only one that's going to be left standing.
Now, with that mindset, whatever come at you, whatever armies can come at you as a representative of Yah said, my army is going to be the last one standing. We just read about it in King. It was just pointed out that God's rod was the last one standing. We just pointed out in 2 Kings that Yah's army was the last one standing. Anytime something is compared to Yah, he going to always be the last one standing.
When Elijah got with those other people, and it was
the prophet of Baal.
Yeah.
He said, how long are we going to hop between two opinions? If my Yah be God, let's worship him. If your God be God, then let's worship him. Let's see. They did a test. Find that where that's located. We're not going to go there. We're just going to give it to people so they can have it in their notes.
Okay.
That was a test. And when it was said and done, Elijah was talking to us. He was like, where your God? Is he asleep? Because why none have it? No one stands with the Most High God. So as these prophets of Baal were cutting themselves and throwing dirt all on their heads and stuff like that, trying to make something happen. Elijah, I remember now. Elijah sitting over there in the corner saying, what, is your God asleep? Is he on vacation? He ain't doing nothing. That's what we have to understand. Okay, I think it's around 17.
First Kings chapter 18.
First Kings chapter 18, to read that story that we just talked about. When Elijah said, how long are you going to hop between two opinions? If God is God, let's worship him. If your God is God, then we're going to worship him. Yah will always stand up for us when we stand up for him. Now, remember what I said. When we was in 2 Timothy, First Kings 18, y'all, read that story. First Kings chapter 18, read that story. Now, remember what I said. I said, who were these two men who withstood? Who were these two men who withstood Moses? We just read about them in Exodus 7, verse 11. They were magicians. Y'all got to remember this now. The men that 2 Timothy chapter 3 is talking about, what Paul is talking about in chapter 3, they were magicians who withstood Moses. Verse 11, they were sorcerers. Magicians is one and the same pretty much. Now, we're going to deal with the word sorcerer and magician, and I'm going to take you back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 to show you what preachers are. Now, when you see sorcerer, it means witchcraft, magic, magician. Also means it deals with horoscope. So when you saw people say, what's your sign? That's witchcraft, that form of magic. Okay? So it's horoscoped, magical line, circle, all these different things. So when you see magic and all that, that's what these people were. Those people who do magic tricks and all that kind of stuff, as you see, they use deception, enchantment. It's not the real deal. Just deception. Now, with that understanding of knowing who withstood Moses, now we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to show you what he is meaning when he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. But I'm going to start again at verse 7. Verse 7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In reference to all the things listed from verse 1 through 6, he says, these mindsets, now these are leaders now, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, how do they resist the truth? With magic and sorcery. In other words, they will pull up all these magic shows and they will teach people these doctrines in the church that has nothing to do with the scriptures of the scriptures of the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, and the New Testament scriptures, so-called New Testament scriptures. They don't teach the truth. What they do is teach philosophy and sorcery and magic to bamboozle you to buy the CDs and the videos and the T-shirts and all that stuff that goes on with them conferences and all that. And you got all this material, but ain't no truth in it. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. People are being bamboozled on the same method by which Jannes and Jambres, those magicians in the Old Testament that we just read, was trying to bamboozle Moses and Aaron. Now, to show you that I'm telling you the truth, moving to the next chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Because of this mindset in chapter 3, and Paul goes on when you read the rest of chapter 3, talking about the persecution and things like that he received from these type of people, he tells Timothy, he said, now you, because see, Paul is in prison. Paul is getting ready to be killed. Paul is getting ready to be killed, so he's teaching Timothy a concept. He's writing to Timothy, teaching Timothy because he's getting ready to die. He's getting ready to go before Nero and he's going to be killed. So Paul is teaching Timothy before he dies, before they kill him, because he's giving him an understanding, no matter what, you teach the truth. That's why he says in verse 1, 2 Timothy, chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he said, I charge thee therefore before Yah. And Yehoshua Mashiach, that's Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. In other words, preach it when they like it, preach it when they don't like it. You just preach the word. That's why I put it up there, I share it. I'll say what I gotta say, and I know people may like it, and I know some may not like it. That's not my concern. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? Why should we preachers stand for the apostles' doctrine? Why should we stand for all the scriptures that's inspired by God and given to men so that we can teach the truth? Why should we stick with that truth? He tells us why. Verse 3, for the time will come when churchfolk, not the world, church folks. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want it. I don't want to hear that preacher tell me on 10 steps on how to become a millionaire. Teach me 20 steps on how to take my wife out to a beach front property and you know, and kiss on her. I'm just using some funny example. Teach me how to do that, Pastor. I don't want to hear nothing about how to walk in righteousness and line myself up with the written word. Y'all, teach me philosophies that you come up with in your own mind on how to make my life work. Because after all, everybody who believes in Jesus is supposed to be rich, right, preacher? But it's funny that our Savior told that doggone crook, Judas Iscariot, he said, a poor you have what you always. Well, who are we going to believe, the Savior, or are we going to believe these preachers that say everybody who believes in Jesus is supposed to be rich? The Savior made it clear. You always have poor folks. That's why we take up resources. That's why we take up the tithe, which is not money, but it's food. That's why it's put in the church. That's why resources are taken up to meet the needs of people. Whether it's tithe or you taking up money for the treasury. These things are put in place to meet the needs of people because there will always be poor people. Verse 3 again, he said, for the time will come when they, church people, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they eat. Pile them up. You got some people, all they do is go to conferences. Piling up preachers. Let me hear the next one. Some people sit and watch TV and all day just turning the channel, piling up preachers, hearing what they want to hear. And the minute they hear one that's telling the truth, they're going to change their channel. But let some joker be on there talking about how to dazzle your man. Women going to be everywhere looking, smiling and grinning. You dazzle your man by fearing Yah, lady. That's how you dazzle your man. You want to impress your man? Fear Yah, according to Proverbs 31. See, what I love about Proverbs 31, it gives a whole list of all the virtuous things that a woman can do. But then it said there's one that it said it all, because anybody can imitate. That's what Proverbs 31 is about. It gives the whole list. The people get caught up in the whole list, and they read all the whole list. Then he ends by saying anybody can do that. He said, but a woman that fears Yah, she shall be praised. So if you want to please your man, fear Yah. He will be pleased. Man, if you want to please that woman, fear Yah, and she will be pleased. So he says now in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. They want to hear something to tickle. Let me hear it tickle. And the organ back in the background playing good. Tickling. Oh, Pastor Priest. What are these priests? I don't know, but it sounded good. Tickle them ears. And they shall, verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. In other words, they will think all church stuff has to do with fables instead of the truth. Who would you be shocked how many Christians love fables? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Y'all, they'll put that up on the lawless church somewhere. Not realizing that our Savior said, it's not what's going in a man that make him unclean, it's what come out of him. He said, because what go in a man, it enters his belly and come out the drought, come out of his rear end. So stuff that go in don't make you nasty, it's the stuff come out of you that make you nasty. So that's what's going on in these last days. we are living in the last days. And as you read, this is your assignment, read chapter 3 and chapter 4. Because as you read the rest of chapter 4, Paul is pointing out people who left him in the faith. So don't give me that one saying, always say crap. You know, I'm just kind of raw right now. Don't give me that one thing I always say, son, because Paul is pointing out in chapter 2 that there was men who were following him at one time, and they turned around and left the gospel and went out into the world. That's why the scripture says in Revelation, him that endures to the end. It don't matter how you start out. A whole bunch of preachers starting out saying, Lord, Lord, Jesus, Jesus, I love you, God, and I just want to do right. A whole lot of preachers starting out that way, but it don't mean they're going to end that way. I'll show you as I get ready to close here, I'm going to show you what Paul is saying. Let me see. He's talking about people who are giving him problems. I'm trying to see what verse. I'm just going through this real fast. He's naming one specifically in this same chapter that went out into the world. I think it's in chapter 4. Hey, baby, chapter 3. Let me go back to chapter 3. I'm going to show you that you had people. Let me do it the lazy way. Y'all be just bear with me. Just type in the word. It's been one of these passages, but I'm just scanning too fast. So I let my Bible help me. Second Timothy 4:10. He said, 2 Timothy 4:10 says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." You had people who were following the doctrine of the apostles' doctrine that left it. And you can start looking up a list down in here where you have men who stayed faithful to it, and then some who departed and went back. They left and went back. Even some who followed Christ, his word was too hard for them, and they turned and left. But they were at one time classified as disciples. But y'all, we got to see. You got to understand that there are preachers who started out righteous. But that don't mean they ended up that way. That's why I like to keep myself in check. Y'all, if I'm going the wrong way, y'all, here I am. Look at me. Check me out. Here I am. If I'm going the wrong way, put me on the right track path or kill me. Here I am. I'm waving at you. To the nutty man. The nutty man is saying, straighten me out or kill me if I'm going the right wrong direction. Straighten me out, y'all, or kill me.
Yeah, Solomon is a good example of that.
Go ahead and tell
us something. Oh. Wow. Well, Solomon, when he started out with Solomon, when God asked Solomon, you know, in a nutshell, he would give him anything that he wanted. And Solomon, all Solomon asked for is basically wisdom to bless the people. And so y'all said, because you asked this, and not silver and gold, that he would bless him with that as well as the other stuff. And so he started out on a path that was the path of righteousness. But over the course of time, after he had married many, many, many wives, they began to turn his heart away from God. And so he started out on the right path, but course of life made him go off and do things that at the end were not pleasing to what, and it wasn't how he started out in the first place. It wasn't pleasing to Yah. He was following after these other idols. Mm-hmm.
And when you start, based upon what Elder just said, I was going to go ahead and look for it, but I'm not going to spend time doing it. If you want to, you can just kind of look for it.
Okay.
If you don't, it's no big deal because we're finished now. But I wanted to say this from this perspective. Based upon what Elder just said in reference to Solomon, at one time being totally committed to being led by Yah, he was like, give me a heart just to lead the people. And before it was said and done, he was taking on every kind of idol that came from all them strange women. Who was it, 3,000? I think it was 3,000 wives and concubines all combined.
700 wives and...
I keep forgetting. I think it was 700 wives and... It was 300 wives and 700 concubines,
right.
Something like that. I think always said 3,000. But I think it was 300, we saw them had, I think 300 wives and 700 concubines. Some had it in a nutshell, 1,000 wives. And all the women in order to appease them, he was just like, okay, just shut up. Bring your God here. Worship your idol. He was getting them from everywhere. If it was pretty, Solomon was getting them. But that drove his heart away from Yah. And that's where Ecclesiastes come from. Solomon was sitting in that state of mind saying, all this pain. No, none of this makes no sense. I done tested everything. All this pain. That's what he was saying, that stuff. He wrote Ecclesiastes when his mindset was messed up, although it is a revelation from Yah still. He wrote it when he was in that state of mind. While he was sitting out of prayer, I done tried everything. I sit there, I'm just paraphrasing. You go read all Ecclesiastes, you see some stuff, Paul said. Paul said, I just did stuff just to see what the outcome was about to be.
Huh?
Solomon. Oh, Paul, man, I'm telling you. Man, sometimes I say something, y'all help me, man. Solomon was saying, sometimes I did stuff just to see the outcome. And I realized, man, that's vanity. I should have done it. I see the outcome. It don't mean a thing, man. What's the use? That's why he's doing all that complaining in Ecclesiastes.
And just to chime in, for his day, Scripture says he was the wisest man of his time. So, you know, even starting out with that beginning doesn't mean that you're going to end up where you started out in.
Exactly. So it's vitally important for us to understand it. Just because we're so deceived in the thinking that we think that godliness is associated with all the material things that we see that preachers do now, because their mindset is, or the fables that they teach is, if Yah is with you, you're going to prosper. Supposed to have a Rolls Royce. Supposed to have a mansion. Supposed to have all these things if you're a prosperous man. Abraham was blessed. If you blessed with faith for Abraham, then you. I'm blessed with faith for Abraham because I have Christ. That's the only thing y'all promised through Abraham. That through his seed, we may have the promise of salvation. He ain't promised me no Rolls Royce. He promised me victory connected back to Yah, being connected back to Yah, through him sending Christ, his son, to show us the way to the Father. That's the promise. That's the blessing. That's prosperity. But how are you going to say that? I know a bunch of devils got Rolls Royces and mansions and all that. They don't call on Yah. Money is their God. So what Yah blesses us with, here it is, you know what I'm about to say. Elder said it, I'm going to repeat it. So when it's Yah, can't nobody else compare. So why would Yah use material to establish that you're blessing him when the devil can use the same snake? Remember what Elder said. Yah stands by himself. So he's going to give you something that the world can't get. Did y'all hear that? So that's how you compare. If the world got it, that's not what y'all talking about. If the world got what you think you got from Yah, that determines that you belong to Yah, and the world can pull off beside you in the same thing, or can walk in the same thing, that ain't what y'all talking about. That's another God beside him. Elder just pointed out no other God stand beside him. His rod eat up other rods. He stands alone. So he gives us something that the world can't have. What is that? His spirit to walk in the truth and to be led by him on a daily basis. The world can't get that. But the world can take these preachers' books, the world can take these preachers' messages, and get the same results as the church. Why you think they bring worldly folks in the church? Why you think Oprah at the conference? Because it ain't the kingdom. I bet your Oprah won't sit in my presence. Because she's gonna realize, oh no, I can't reach this unless I follow Yah. I can't pay for this. I can't hide behind my B&M Sabbath with what that fool just preached. Okay, I'm through busting. I'm busting. Yeah. I just got a feel about this right now, and I just want y'all to have the truth so much, so badly. That I'm not shutting up. I'm sorry. I just can't shut up. He just didn't put it in me. I tried to shut up for years. There's been a lot of time I was saying, I ain't gonna say nothing. I'm gonna be quiet. And y'all just like the prophet. It's just like, bruh, shut it. What is it? Ezekiel said, I made up my mind I wasn't gonna mention the Lord no more. He said, I was gonna shut up. But it was just like fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't contain myself. The worst thing you can do is try to hold in truth. It'll burn you up. Man, I'll be sitting there twitching and going on fire. I'll throw my hand up and be like, I got to say something. Just like fire. Amen. Any questions or comments? I'm finished. I'm through busting. You good? Got anything over there? Okay, I'm finished. Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for another opportunity to present ourselves to you and just stand in your truth. We thank you, Yah, that we have been given the confidence in this lesson to know that if we stand for you, then no one else will be able to stand before us as we stand for you. And we praise you, Yah, for revealing that to us in your scriptures, in your word. And we just thank you that we're taking this and going forward, standing for you and you only, Yah. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen.